Revelations and Redemption, an actual play podcast by Hot Dice.
I'm not loaded up on caffeine today, so this should be a completely different intro.
This is a new Shin.
Hey, hello, and welcome. Brandon hates when I do that. He can only think of community when I do that.
Only think of community.
And I'm doing it because it's from Community, one of my favorite shows.
Six seasons and a movie.
Six seasons and a movie.
But hi, my name is Shinwoo Moon. I play Ernest Silverman Gold.
Fun fact about Silverman.
Oh, see, I could go first, right? But there's this running bit that I always go last. So
you made the bit. You can change it.
I think it is time for you to go first.
Should I go first? Okay,
yeah.
Well, let's have a vote here.
Oh,
let's have a vote.
Democracy?
Everybody raise your hand.
Okay.
If everyone wants me to go first in saying a fun fact about my character, say I, Captain.
Hi, Captain.
Hi, Captain.
Hi, Captain.
Captain Crunch.
And now that I got something that I really wanted in return, I will then...
You sick fuck.
If you mail me $3.95 by mail.
So I will go first. Thank you. I am the captain of this crew.
Oh, fuck.
What the fuck?
We're on a boat?
Not by choice.
Yes.
None of this was worth it. I'm so pissed off.
So, hi. I play Ernest Silverman Gold. And a fun fact about my character, wow, I am really caught off guard, is that
you know how I feel.
My two daughters, I have three daughters in total, but my youngest twin daughters, they are huge K-pop fans. Mm. Who should we vote for to be next?
Let's do Jules.
So you're approaching me. hi, it's Brandon James. I'm playing Jules Vega.
Hi, Jules.
If you want to complete the Jules Vega outfit that he's currently wearing in the campaign. It is a $12,000.
Do you want to do this at home, folks?
$12,000 suit. His glasses are $3,000.
You're not describing them visually. You're just saying their prices.
$1,200. Yeah, I know. His socks, which are silk, are $800. And his shoes cost $1,000. So in total, you're looking at about $18,000.
I feel like I need you to repeat that, but I'm afraid you're not going to be able to remember.
His suit is $12,000. His glasses are $3,000.
Oh, gosh.
His watch is $1,200. His socks, which are silk, are $800. And his shoes are $1,000. In grand total of about $18,000 to complete the fit.
I am totally just going to Google this and put together outfits. I'm so excited.
I enjoy the energy we've created in the space today.
Chaotic.
Well, hey, bro, if you're having fun, I guess you could give your fun fact next.
God, I walked right into that. Hi, everybody. I'm Bro Dingles. I'm confessing to a murder today. I have killed a man. Fun fact about Jamie Watson, the character I am playing. Jamie, being a conspiracy theorist, will also do this thing that I do, like I just did. They are given a topic and they just like kind of go off about like, I could create a conspiracy about this, and whether it's serious or not, you'll never know.
Amazing.
I know too many people like that in my life.
Like if somebody tells me make a conspiracy about apples, I'll be like, yeah. Apples were created by Jesus one day, and he...
I love apples not being real, or being created by Jesus. Because I think they're the only food that I can think of that is in the Bible before Jesus shows up.
Actually, no, it's not canonically.
Well, no,
an apple.
It's never stated what fruit it is.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Also, fun fact,
make it an apple?
How many animals did Noah take on the ark?
Two? Three, in case one died?
Two. Or seven, or five, depending on what part of the actual sentence you're reading.
Dadgummit.
Listen, when you translate something that many times, I feel like we're going down a rabbit hole here.
Yeah.
The thought of Adam and Eve just eating like a nice steak dinner.
It has to be a fruit. It's Why a would fruit. You pick a meat?
It was a Michelin star restaurant.
They're eating okay. A tomato anyway.
I'm a little worried about
has
what
to edit
you
this.
Think the food groups are.
What a nightmare.
Cool. Well, you know, bro, great fun fact. I really, we really appreciate
it. Wait. Can I take a brief second and we just edit this out?
We did not.
The creator of VeggieTales recently had a Twitter thread that ended with him saying, "I hate to inform you that tomatoes and cucumbers are both technically fruit."
Oh. He's just saying a fact.
Fruit is a scientific term. Vegetable is a culinary term. Vegetables aren't real.
Oh my God. What? There it is. There it is.
There's birds. They are vegetables.
No, they're vegetables. Vegetables. There's nothing different
between. Is Pluto
between...
even a planet?
No, Pluto's a planet.
What?
Yes.
Did they recategorize it?
Actually, I think they have recategorized it as a dwarf planet again, but that might have just been because. No, I'm sorry. We're already so off the rails, so I'm just going to go ahead and share this. I seriously thought I made up this conspiracy theory that broccoli was like an alien vegetable, like from an alien planet, and then rereading the Animorphs podcast. Rereading Animorphs for the podcast, I learned that that was actually a story plot line in Animorphs that I had forgotten.
Oh.
All right, so...
Sorry. Hey, Matt, this is not Megan's literary corner.
Matt, great fact. Why don't you just give a fun fact about your character, I guess? Because for some reason, I'm taking this over. Jeez, I'm so power hungry. Sorry, Shin.
Hey, doesn't sound like you're very successful right now.
Oh, damn.
All right. Damn. All right, Matt, go ahead with your fun fact.
So I'm Meg Griffin. I play Harlene Parker, and I came up with this wonderful fact because earlier it was asked if Harlene is good at chess because she doesn't believe in bishops, and she is. She learned how to play chess while she was in boarding school in France, so she calls it a jester.
Oh. I like that.
Isaiah, you want to do a fun fact?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a mission that Rocco has gone on. Abram Rocks, at one point, was sent to Texas, back when he was an agent of FART, because citizens to Texas were spontaneously combusting. And upon further investigation, it was discovered that there were aliens up in a spaceship who had, like, basically special magnifying glass, and they were redirecting sunbeams. And then after investigating too much, kind of poking the bear, the aliens came down and met Abram in a cornfield. And he convinced them to leave Earth alone in exchange for giving them a family of German shepherds.
Huh.
Whoa. And so now the aliens aren't bored enough to want to kill people for fun because they've got dogs.
Oh.
I'm sorry, in my mind, like, to kill? Because you go from killing ants to, like, this is a serial killer track you could be putting them on.
But now they got dogs.
Wandy.
Yes.
Hey, man.
Hey, what's up?
I'm going to take Rain over the wheel here.
Thanks, man.
Shin's in charge.
Give us a fun fact about...
Actually, Shin, I'm going to snatch the reins from you, even though I know what should happen.
What?
It's another coup.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Oh, my God.
Yes, Captain.
My God.
Wander, last episode, you said that you would tell us why your name is Wander.
Ooh.
Did I?
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
I've been waiting with bated breath.
I can tell you that. So Wander, one day when he was 2 months old, he was taking a little nap in front of the sun in the little cradle. And his parents, they had an emergency. They had to save the forest. And so the forest is on fire. He's in Oregon. They had to go out, rescue some small animals. And Wander, he actually didn't have a name at that point. Just nameless. They didn't
I
know
was
what
nameless
to,
for two
yeah,
months.
For 2 months.
They called
you
him
nameless.
I was born at age baby. 4 without
baby.
A
baby. They called him baby.
And you somehow got out of the cradle and somehow found a branch they used as a walking stick.
Right.
And you actually ventured out and created and met a group of woodland creatures.
Sure.
In the forest of Oregon.
This checks out.
After they saved the forest because your parents are amazing rangers, they couldn't find you. So they're on the hunt for you, looking far and wide, up and down, through the darkness, in caves. And finally, they found you, wandering around in the plains.
Now it all makes sense.
Cool. Yes, yeah, so that's my fun fact. Last episode, everyone except for Jamie ended up heading towards the entry hall to cast like a big magic spell to kind of figure out where all the different magical items are. Meanwhile, Jamie went down to Jeffrey Hudson's panic room and broke in with the help of Helena and her friends on Reddit And then once she got in there, Jeffrey Hudson ended up showing back up in the mirror, speaking to his drug dealer, and her drug dealer stayed back inside the mirror while he went back into her body. So we're going to jump right back to that moment with the bishop and Jamie standing in the panic room. But before we get started, Jamie, you do have the chance to do your investigation role for the start of the episode.
Oh, I gotta do connect the dots, everybody. Connect the dots. Oh, I got a 12.
Oh, my Lord.
I get three questions.
Awesome. Amazing. Cool. Love it. Bro, you watch as Helena's image in the mirror kind of stays back as Jeffrey Hudson kind of steps out of the mirror and into her body. His eyes quickly dart between you and the bishop. And he goes like, "Whoa, whoa. Oh, man, it's good to be back in a body. Whoa. Wow. I died." Wow. That's crazy. Hey. Bishop Evergreen, I need your help. And sorry, what's your name?
Jameson.
Bishop Greenfield looks between you and Jeffrey Hudson and goes, "Exactly what would I have to help you with?" Jeffrey's like, "Hey, just a quick ritual. You and I just got to do a quick ritual, and then I can take us home." Man, hey, and Jameson, right? You can help. You can help with the ritual too, if you want.
I still don't trust you, but I have no better idea.
You can also just fuck off if you want to too. It's all good. It's whatever you want.
There's still that crystal thing in this room, right? Or whatever the object was.
Yeah, there's still the crystal.
It hovers a hand over and it's just kind of like, can you at least tell me what this does?
That's the whole reason why we're here. Just a little bit of a protection for if I died. I just need your help.
Looks at the bishop.
The bishop's like, "I'm quite confused. There's a lot of dark magic happening around, but I hope that you will not, you know, fuck off." So with that, Jeffrey kind of turned around and was like, "Hey, so just remember, pretend I'm Helena. Don't let anyone know. It's me. Ha ha! Because I was murdered. Let's go." He types in a new code from the door and the door slides open.
I will catch up with you guys in a second. A lot has happened. I just got to gather myself. I'm going to do some personal prayer in here.
Personal prayer.
Come on.
The bishop goes, and then Jeffrey kind of puts his hand on his shoulder and pulls him through the door and goes, "Cool, see you around, sport.
What room are you going to?"
And the doors slide closed.
Well, she's going to check the hard drive now.
Yeah, after just a few minutes of poking around, you find that a lot of the walls can, there's like kind of like those drawers that are kind of hidden. But if you press against the wall, like a latch unhooked, a drawer slides out. You find a drawer that just, you click on it and a giant like desktop tower slides out with a computer.
We're going to plug in this thing.
You plug in the hard drive. You see a single video file.
What is it called?
Interview 001.
Ooh.
I'm going to set the thumbnail to large so I can actually see what the thumbnail is before I click it.
It looks like a dark interrogation room. A single light kind of hanging down, and like on the other side of the chair, you see this red spiky humanoid.
Right click properties. When was this? How old is this video? Like, when was this video made?
This video was made within the last month.
Don't like that. That's not sexy. Well, she's going to actually watch the video now. Hopefully an actual media player comes up.
You hear the voice of the bishop speaking in Latin off screen. And then he throws a couple of, you watch as like some droplets and you see the bishop's hand show up in like a frame on the other side of the table for a quick moment. And you see kind of water splash off his hand and it lands on the creature. And you just see some vapor kind of like spin off as the creature goes.
"Why are you here, demon? A deal with Kent Cornwall. He gives us many souls. He gives you souls. You're trading souls with this man? Yes. He steals them away and then trades them to us. You can't keep me here long. Man of God, I will find a way out. We will see, demon. We will see very soon."
At that moment, you see the chains, they're kind of like the handcuffs around the demon, start to glow a red hot as it begins to heat them up. The bishop sees it a moment too late and goes like, can we get a, someone get here and pray with me? And the chains burn off, and then in a flash of light, the demon disappears.
Shit. Walks over to the mirror. Helena, can you hear me?
Yeah, no, she walks forward, goes like, yeah, hey, ooh, this is weird.
Okay, stay safe in there. Do I need a code to get back out, or can I just go?
Wow, yeah, Jeffrey put in a code to get out. Huh. Well, let's just see if it's the same code I used to get in.
What's that in?
It does not open the door.
God fucking damn it!
Oh, he got you!
And at that
none of us know you're down there.
We're going to shoot away from the panic room and zip right back up to the entrance hall. You guys just completed a big magic requirement. You guys had a whole bunch of people praying together. And essentially the spell you guys were casting was to determine the location of magic items. If anyone in the circle wants to look for a specific magic item that you know about, you can roll a weird check now. You can add a +2 to your roll.
Ooh.
The vaguer you are with the magical item you're looking for, the higher the roll requirement will be to like discover where it is with this spell.
So I'm on the lookout for the ring of five faces. Does a 15 do anything?
A 15 is going to pass. Is Harleen going to look for the same magical item?
I feel like I have to, like, to get there first.
Go for it.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that. I got a natural 10 plus the 2 and then plus my weird, which is always plus my charm. So that's +3. I got the same thing.
15.
Yeah.
Wow. Spicy. Does Abram want to look for a magic item?
So fun fact, when Abram realized what this spell circle was, his first thought was, this wasn't a spell circle to figure out how to get us out of here. And then his second thought was, well, maybe I'll take advantage of this and look for more of that same magic murderous cocaine. So I rolled a natural 3, -1 for my weird.
+2.
So +2 is a 4.
Wait, but whose hands are you holding?
I'm definitely holding Ernest's hand on one side.
My buddy.
And I'm probably holding, not Jules, because he's awful.
I'm holding Jules' hands for sure, then.
You're holding Jules' hand?
And I'm holding Lee's hand.
I'm definitely not holding Jules, yeah.
So then I would be holding...
You're holding Harleen's hand!
Abram, you get shot up into the air, you smash into the ceiling, and then you drop back down. Abram!
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my arm!
You're going to take one harm ignoring armor.
Ignoring armor?
Yep.
Oh.
Sad.
As you guys all turn towards Abram after you get blasts off, everyone, you see energy in the air. Harleen and Jules Vega, you see the energy go across the entry hall into the dining room.
Well, thanks for hurting my arm, but I'm going to go that way for a minute. So I will talk to you all in a bit.
Rocky?
Mm.
How many fingers am I putting up?
I want to say 6, but that can't be right.
No, I'm holding 4. Oh, no. This is really fun. Just for the audience, we have our cameras off.
I can't see a single thing.
So I'm actually holding my fingers up, and he had to guess. That's so funny. No, I'm actually holding 4. Okay, you might have a slight concussion. It could be worse. You really just rocketed up there. Here, get on my shoulder.
Look, I'm okay.
The bar has eyes. I can grab you some if you like.
Oh.
Wait right here.
Hey, Rocky, I know I saw that video of him being a complete ass with you, but... Nope, never mind. He could still be that ass. He's not the guy that I know.
I was interested in where you were going with that, but yeah, that's about where I'd end it too.
I have a really long history with Jules. He was kind of a close friend that I would go to for advice, but he lost contact with me for 5 years, and this is the first time I've seen him in so long, and he's like a completely different person, and I actually think Jules' body has been taken over by something else. Rocky, I have to save him. I've been losing too many people in my life, and I just can't, not him too. And I just wanted to know, how many fingers am I holding up?
I'm seeing 3, so I'm going to say 2.
Still 4.
Damn it. Jesus.
Okay.
What are we whispering about?
Nothing.
Gerrymandering.
I'm going to have the bottle in one hand and a small glass in the other with some ice. Here, this is for you, man. And I'm going to give him the glass.
Thanks.
Have I met you somewhere before?
Oh, come on.
Anyway, hold on to that thought. I got business to handle. You two gonna be good?
Yeah.
We'll be fine.
Toodles. And I'm gonna go in the direction that the mystical energy was guiding me.
We should find the bishop.
Okay.
There was an angel upstairs, and the bishop is probably our best bet.
So, Harleen, as you follow the mystical energy into the dining room, as you open the door, the mystical energy ends when you enter into the dining room. You see there's like a few more guests. There's like an older man and woman kind of still sitting at the table. And you still see one of the like caterers. He's just sat down and he's just chatting with some people. And you also see a guy in like a security outfit kind of leaning over the table, piling some of the pig meat onto his plate.
A security guard, you say, huh?
Yep.
So Harleen is going to just very calmly walk over to the security guard and be like, "Sir, I'm being harassed by this guy. And I just came in here to kind of escape. But I think he's going to follow me. Can you help me, like, keep him out of this room?"
He kind of, like, picks up his radio and goes, like, "I got a lady over here. Says that she's kind of getting bothered by some jerk. Anyone want to kind of come over and help?" Another kind of voice comes up, like,
"Yo, it's Frank. Yeah, I'll be right there."
"Great. Could you just have him go to that door and keep Jules out?"
"Right. Frank will be here in a second. He'll take care of it."
"But you're here now. Can't you help me now?"
"Yep." And he kind of starts to, he just takes his plate and starts to walk away.
I should be able to roll manipulate someone and use my wonderful charm that everybody hates.
Go ahead.
That's a 10.
He goes, "Okay, like right when Frank comes, I'm going to skedaddle, but I'll make sure he doesn't enter, okay?"
"Thank you. You're such a peach." So I still don't know what this ring even looks like.
You can sense that it's in the room. You're not sure where it is.
Okay.
We're going to jump back over to the main kind of entry hall.
I was heading towards the magical guidance, taking me towards the room, I guess.
As you walk out, the door opens and like a security guard steps out.
"Ha ha, hello there."
"Look, dude, no hard feelings, but apparently there's a little bit of tension, so... you know, if I was you, I would just head back.
Just trying to get into the dining room."
"And I understand that, man. But look, there's just some tension and I don't want to get into it."
"Tension? What the hell are you talking about?"
"Someone just asked. They just need some space from you for a little
Excuse
bit.
Me?
So
are you kidding?
I just take
this,
a walk,
this is a
man.
Joke.
Hey, buddy.
Whoa.
Does my face say I'm kidding?"
"No, your face says you should get the hell out of my way."
"You don't want to be a dick, right, man? Like, come on."
"I've been trying to cleanse myself of a lot of negative emotions."
"Okay, just take a little walk."
"And honestly, the scotch isn't helping, and I'm going to hit him in the head with this bottle of scotch."
Roll, roll a kick ass.
Bold move. Oh my god.
And here we go.
Double sixes plus my tough.
Oh.
Fuck.
That is that's a 14.
Oh my god.
Abram, you watch as the man, you know the history.
I do.
You happen to see Reginald, the guy that was in the security booth upstairs.
Yeah, Reginald.
You suddenly see him standing in front of the door.
Mm-hmm.
You see him have like a kind of verbal moment with Jules.
"Oh hey, Reginald, I wonder what he's doing away from the cameras."
"Yeah.
I hope Jules doesn't throw a drink at him."
"He seemed like a pretty cool guy when I was talking to him, actually. He was kind of calming me down, surprisingly enough."
And then Jules takes the bottle, smashes it over the head, and Reginald falls to the ground.
"Oh what my gosh.
That's not my Jules."
"Yeah, I charge over and I scoop Reginald up. Is Reginald just knocked out on the ground?"
"Yeah, he's like unconscious."
"Beer me.
Jules, what the hell?" And I'm going to try to wake up Reginald.
"I'm going to open the door."
"Okay.
Could I use my medic ability?"
"You can absolutely use your medical ability."
"Cool. You have full first aid kit and training to heal people. When you roll first aid, roll plus cool. So I'll do that. Man, I didn't roll well. It's okay. So I got a 7, so I get to choose one. Heal to harm or stabilize. Could I just substitute stabilize for, like, wake up?"
"Sure. As you're waking him up, Harleen, you watch as Jules just pushes open the two doors."
"Well, that's awkward. I mean..."
"Why is that awkward?"
At this moment of all this commotion, of Reginald being on the ground, the pool room door opens, and the bishop and Helena both walk out.
"Oh, bishop."
"Bishop." "Reginald, I'm sorry, one second. Bishop."
"Yes?"
"I need to speak with you."
"And I'm going to use my ability, oops." For the audience, the mundane has an ability called oops. "If you want to stumble across something important, tell the keeper. You will find something important and useful, although not necessarily related to your immediate problems."
As you trip over Reginald's leg,
whoa!
His pant leg kind of moves a little bit, and you see a very fresh cut on his leg.
Can I accidentally, like, just tackle the bishop onto the ground?
Sure.
Yes.
Whoa!
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. God. I did not mean to get to second base with you, sir.
Okay, and he kind of stands up and kind of pushes you. He's like, it's fine.
Yeah, very strong chest. What? Wow, you work out. Yeah,
stop, Ernest.
What did you want to talk to me about?
Can I just pull him briefly out of earshot of Candy Queen?
Yeah, sure. Reginald kind of stands up at that moment, like clearly a little dazed, but he like kind of shakes it off, and he kind of grabs a piece of the pork and just runs upstairs because his plate shattered.
Okay.
The bishop turns to you and goes, how can I help you?
Behind a hidden door, behind a painting upstairs, is something that I can only guess is either an angel or a devil, and it seems to want your soul.
Oh.
Second thing, we're trapped in purgatory.
Yes.
Third, because I truly believe that you were the individual with the missing pieces of this puzzle, the ghost, I want to say, of Jeffrey Hudson has unfinished business here and may still be trying to get your soul to feed it to the thing.
Okay.
Also, Candy Queen is quite possibly responsible for the murder.
I doubt that very much.
Leaving that aside, but maybe don't go into rooms alone with Candy Queen.
This is what you're going to do. Do you have an extra radio on you?
Of course.
He takes the radio. You are going to go back to the creature and you are going to ask it about the name of Kent Cornwall.
Okay.
I'm going to go and follow. You say her name's the Candy Queen. I know it as Helena. She wishes to take me somewhere. She's saying it's vitally important that I see something. So I'm going to go with her. I will radio where we are. Once you've finished speaking to this creature, come find us and make sure that I'm okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Father.
Yes?
I'm going to do one of those two-handed clasp shake hands with him. But I'm handing him a pea shooter.
He kind of like feels in his hand. He goes, I have no idea how to use it.
Father, you literally pulled the trigger, Father. Father, I cannot express to you enough how simple it is.
I am uncomfortable, but dark times call for dark measures. Thank you, my son. And he kind of spins around and heads up the staircase.
Okay. I'm going to head in the same general direction because I'm inching towards the room that I need to eventually get into.
Yeah.
Cool.
Around that same time, you said that Reginald got up and walked away.
Yeah.
I would have followed him.
Okay.
Cool.
Reginald kind of stumbles up the stairs and gets up to the landing and like walks towards the security room. How quiet are you trying to be?
Probably not too quiet at all, actually. I'd probably just be like rushing after him and be like, Reginald, are you feeling any?
I did get smashed in the head by that giant oaf.
Well, hey.
I thought, you know what? It's fine, man. I just thought me and Abram, we were like, because he just let that guy walk away. I thought us guys in the security squad, I thought we watched out for each other.
I've known Rocky for a long time, 10, 15 plus years, and back then he was kind of a rough rider. And I think that was a part of himself that he doesn't really like. He didn't like that harsh, aggressive energy, and it didn't make him feel like the person he wanted to be when he came back home.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of get that. I get that.
Oh, hey, man, can you do me a favor? Can you just keep that guy away from me?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I will make sure to keep a watch out for you, but let me just look at that leg. There was a scratch there. I just don't want it to get infected.
I think I just need some time to decompress all this, you know?
Okay. Understood.
Thanks.
Can I do a investigate a mystery?
Yes, you can.
11 plus 1 sharp, so I rolled a 12.
Nice, man.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just go, oops, my shoe's untied, and then I'm going to go down and just tie my shoes. And as I am, I want to see if I can get a better look at that leg and see what is being concealed here.
So it's absolutely self-inflicted. You get the sense with like what's being concealed here. It looks like a magical ritual occurred within this room recently.
Okay.
And that the blood from Reginald's leg was used in that ritual.
I'm going to get up and go, Reginald, I'll catch you later. And I'll walk out.
At that moment, let's jump back over to Jules and Harleen, who we haven't seen in a little bit. The two of you continue to like search this room, but nothing's really coming up.
Lee, get in here.
He walks in.
Help us look for this damn thing. What?
I think I saw something. Whatever. We'll talk about it later.
I'm sorry, I'm being abrasive. I just knocked a guy out with the bottle.
Man, what's going on
again?
Are you good, man?
I'm not good.
Hey,
okay.
Hey,
I'm not good.
Do you remember Berlin?
I want to forget Berlin.
Hey, comrade, take a deep breath.
Really enjoying the fact that my boyfriend's over there, like taking care of his boyfriend and not helping me find this ring. Like that's just
wow. Okay.
A whole mood.
Hey, babe. After I saw you flirting with that security guy right in front of me, I'd rather.
Hold on. Honey. Know? Oh, honey. I, no.
Don't. I,
no.
No. Oh, no, I saw it. See, I saw it as clear as day.
Was talk to a guy to keep Jules away from me.
To keep what?
It seemed you were doing a lot of hand gestures and a lot of smiling, and it seemed funky.
I what? Always talk and with what? Hand gestures.
He's my cousin.
Yeah, and he just took out a guy with a whiskey bottle.
Yeah, we're on the same team, though. What's going on?
We're clearly not. He's injuring people. He's why? Making a scene.
I'm making
team
a scene.
Team meeting right here and right now. Hold hands.
Absolutely not.
I don't want to touch her. Can we just keep her away?
Babe.
Yes.
You're the freaking jewel of my world, okay?
And you're mine. So why would you think that I'd be flirting with some human?
I don't know. Ooh. And cuz, you're my little comrade. So what's happening? Yes, I want us to be here to help Jules out, find a new identity for himself with this magical ring. But I was also hoping you guys could become friends. Because, babe, when we get married, well, this guy's going to be... Dude, when we get married... This guy's gonna be my best man.
I'm not 100% sure about like the dynamics with him as your best man, but like
oh
he can definitely be part of the groom's party.
I'm gonna have a mom here.
No.
Oh my
god.
There's a wine cellar downstairs, right? Maybe there's a tree down there too.
Oh my god.
You guys better figure this out and be better friends when I come back.
Wait, babe, I have a bag of dirt for you in my purse. Do you want that?
Yes.
Okay, here, go. You go sit and have a few minutes.
He loves dirt.
Is there like a little tree in the dirt?
There's probably some like, yeah, we'll say like something sprouting.
A little tree in the, what?
No, like a little sprout, not a tree, a but just like some kind of sprouting.
A little sprout. How the heck is this? So there's just a bag. Wait, okay. I need Meg or Wander in this situation to tell me
okay, ready?
How a bag
there's
is.
There's just a plastic bag of dirt in her bag.
Yeah.
That she waters occasionally.
Yeah. I change it out, but it's his emergency.
And it's still
it's
alive?
His emergency plant. Yes. Not all plants, like, I give it some sunlight occasionally, but, like, some plants enjoy low light.
The no oxygen aspect of a plastic bag does concern me.
That's fair.
Aside from that, I'm totally on board.
I mean, if you put a new one in every day, it's not going to die. Like, it
yeah, like,
really
I'm changing
that's
it
true.
Out frequently. Like, this is his, like, what are they called? The dogs that they have.
Like an emotional support
plant. Yes, it's his emotional support plant.
That is so cute.
You're telling me that you go in to a random patch of dirt that has a little sproutling, and every day you get a little shovel.
I have a sproutling in my bag that I re-up and give it new dirt and all that stuff. It's got its little, like, probably one of those biodegradable little containers that is like in the bag, and I kind of like rechange it every day. You've been in love, Ernest. Come on. You do anything for those that you
so
love.
This is a magical sproutling that can survive being moved constantly.
I feel we're like... in a world where we're in purgatory and you're focusing way too much on this magical sproutling.
We're in a world where magic and demons and angels exist.
Hey, I just got to...
There's a plant in a bag? No way.
I just got to know, this is a magic sproutling. If it's a magic sproutling, no more questions.
Fine, yes. You know what? It is definitely magical.
Oh, okay. Why didn't you just say so? Okay, I believe it.
Well, we created an energy in the studio today.
Did I forget the magic? Magic was a thing, yes. If I were here, like, going through my gardening tools, absolutely.
He takes the plant, he looks at the two, he goes, okay, babe, that was really, really nice. I'm still mad at you guys. I'm going to go talk to this plant, and I'll be back in a little bit. Thank you. At that moment, we're going to zip back down to the panic room. Bro, do you have any ideas of what that code might be? If you want to, you can roll a sharp.
She put the password in backwards.
She put the password in backwards?
The door opens. Cool.
Which makes complete sense, but also because it was genuinely my first thought when it didn't work the first time. I was just like, oh, maybe I got to put it in the other way. And I'm like, that's a little on the nose.
Who would be that stupid?
So at that moment, Jamie's going to run out of the panic room. Jamie, you reach the ground floor. You just see Lee kind of sitting, the dancing tree man's kind of sitting on the floor, just whispering to a plant. Like, yeah, I mean, I just want them to get along, you know? We're going to do this mission. It feels like we're not really even working together.
Man, this really is enough to make her stop whatever the fuck she's doing.
That's fair. That's fair.
She walks over, gets about at his level, whatever level he is at, leaning down, talking to this plant. And she just goes, dude, are you good?
Yeah, Bigfoot. I'm talking to a tree.
You're what?
Yo, just keep that on the DL because I'm having a weird day.
You know, I'm also having a weird day. Literally any other day.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure you were good.
What were you doing downstairs?
Man, I just want to go home, so I'm trying to figure out how to get home.
Well, something definitely got us to purgatory.
Yeah.
And As I'm sure you've noticed, purgatory is eating this place up.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Have you seen the bishop and some lady?
I saw them briefly. Kind of walked through the main hall and went upstairs.
Such a screw up! And I'm going to toss over a chair.
She looks down at Bigfoot and she's like, does that have anything to do
with it? Has everything to do with it. It has everything to do with me talking to this plant right now. 1 second. And he opens the door with you. Guys,
God.
Why are we still looking for this ring? We're in purgatory, remember?
Because I don't want him to have it. That is, like, seriously my only reasoning, if I'm being honest.
She doesn't want me to have it.
No, because I don't trust you.
Maybe I don't deserve it, okay? Have we thought about that?
Yeah, cousin, yeah, actually it has.
My little comrade, has fame gone to you a little bit? Yes. Do you remember when we gave food to those kids in Berlin?
Yes.
That guy's still in there, man.
Look, I've done nothing but screw up this guy's life, okay? Yeah. It's what I always do.
I'm pretty sure that guy screwed up his own life when he decided to go into the Himalayas and freeze to death, man.
Who are we talking about?
You know, his mom calls.
No.
Once a week.
No.
And I don't have the heart to answer the phone. Everyone expects so much out of him. And I've done nothing but screw up this whole man's life.
He started talking to you.
Well, he doesn't deserve it. He was a nice guy. You've seen his movies.
Slap, kindje slap, der boete zate schaap. And he just starts doing a little German lullaby to you.
Erlene just kind of looks at Jamie and goes, so my boyfriend's with his boyfriend again. Can we get out of here? Do you need help?
I do need help.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to help you now. That's fine. You guys can find this ring together. Get married with it. Whatever it is you want to do. I don't care. Anyways.
She's going to, like, fill Harleen in to a certain degree. As in, she's going to be like, okay. We're in purgatory.
Honey, I could have told you we were in purgatory. I'm still stuck here. Like, I'm still in this house. Of course, we're still in purgatory. But, like, how can I help you?
So, the bishop and this woman, they just went. Her name's Helena. They just went upstairs. They're going to do something to try to get us back. But I don't know how we got here. I don't know anybody's credentials.
Why don't you come with me? Because I'm guessing I know where they're going.
So you two start heading up the staircase to the studio. Jules, is there anything else you want to say to your cousin right now?
I mean, I would love to hear more of the lullaby.
All right. And once again, don't at me in the car. I know it's not German. I know it's Dutch, but, you know, super close.
Slap, kindje slap. Daar buiten staat een schaap. Een schaap net witte woetjes, dat drinkt melk zo zoetjes. Slaap, kindje, slaap.
Thanks, Lee.
No problem.
You and I made an agreement a long time ago that we would help the humans, despite their shortcomings.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I lost sight, and I got so involved in it, and...
I'm glad you called me.
I'm glad I called you too.
I mean, do you want to be this person anymore?
Give up the jewels?
I thought that's the whole reason why we were looking for this ring, man.
At what cost? I wasn't kidding. His mother calls like once a week.
So call her back.
She'll know. She'll see right through me.
So then call her one more time and tell her the truth. Because right now she thinks her son's just ignoring her.
Okay.
Awesome. Let's switch back over to Abram.
Oh, hey, fam.
So, Ernest, you see Abram kind of run up the stairs and like start beelining it towards the security office.
Hey, I need to tell you something important.
Okay.
Earlier today, I got a call from Agent Scissors.
Oh, Scissors, yeah.
Yep. There was a crate found on the docks. Hudson's involved, as well as someone named Kenneth Cornwall. He's recently been released from prison.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. It was found within a storage unit.
Okay.
The names Kent Cornwall and Jeffrey Hudson were written on the walls, and then on the ceiling was written Michael's plan. Ken Cornwall was released from prison a while ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like he went to a halfway house after prison and then he kind of fell off the map.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So I relayed this information to Ernest. And the bishop wants us to go confirm with the angel what it knows about Kent Cornwall.
Yeah, I'm on board. I'm here to help.
Oh, listen, before we go in, this is going to haunt your waking nightmares for as long as you live. Do you want to stay outside?
You're my friend. I'm here to help. I want us to get out of here, and I want to see my kids again.
Okay. So, Wander, we're going to go in and open the door to the angel.
You guys step back into the study. the painting begins to open and the eyes of this eyeless woman look up. Abram.
Eyeless Queen. What do you know about Kent Cornwall?
What?
Kent Cornwall.
Sorry, I was having... Because I can't help but notice that you've brought a friend with you. Ernest Silverman Gold.
Yep, I'm definitely looking at you. That's for sure.
All good, buddy. All good. Patting him on the shoulder.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
So Abram Brox returns, pleading for information.
Asking.
What do you wish to know?
Where is he?
Where's who?
Kent Cornwall.
That is quite valuable information. What are you going to give me?
I don't know. There's some caviar in the kitchen. You want
don't
some?
Don't fuck around, Abram. I want 3 years of your life.
What good does 3 years off the end of my life do you?
Because for those 3 years, you will serve me in hell.
See, that's the thing to open with.
Or you can offer me something else.
I believe they also had some tuna tartare.
Fuck you. Now I want five.
Please excuse my friend over here. He's a particular kind of guy, but a great friend. How about this? What would the price be to confirm if Kenneth Cornwall is in this mansion?
That is the same question as where he is, Ernest.
I think we're going to talk about this just to make sure, because, you know, 5 years of our lives are, you know, a lot, and...
Abram.
Hmm.
Your daughter can also just forget you.
That's
oh,
messed
fuck
up.
Off, and I leave.
Cool. You guys are back in the hallway.
Rocky, I think we got the answer we needed. I think Kenneth Cornwall's in this mansion.
I agree. He's in the mansion.
We have Harleen and Jamie heading up the staircase. Jules and Lee are having a moment in the dining room. Jules, Harleen, and Jamie, the three of you start to hear screams coming from the game/pool room. As Jamie and Harleen, as you kind of instinctively look down underneath the staircase, you see people starting to run out of the pool room quickly. And you see the darkness from outside fill into that room. Abram, at that moment, your radio cracks open.
It seems we're going in the room at the end of the hall of the third floor.
Ernest, I think we should follow. I don't know what the Candy Queen wants with the bishop in a closet, but that doesn't make any sense here.
Yeah, let's hurry up. Let's do this.
And we do one of those cool action movie sequence runs.
And I'll use one of my abilities here as the mundane class.
Oh!
I'll go with, what could go wrong? Whenever you charge into immediate danger without hedging your bets, hold two. You may spend your hold to whatever these questions are, but is this immediate danger? Would you consider that, Wandy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, crap.
Oh, that's a clue in itself. Okay.
Oh, man.
Who doesn't love a good bit of danger?
Good bit of danger.
The two of you start to run up the stairs. Harleen, Jamie, is there anything you do? And also, Jules, like, as all these people start running out, is there anything, any actions you guys would like to take?
Jamie just wants to get upstairs even more now if she sees, like, the room filling up with darkness. She's like, okay, I have one bet.
Okay, we're gonna keep going. Okay, cool. Just following you. That's great.
I think you two might also see Ernest and I running one flight further upstairs.
And we're like running with a mean purpose.
Which is like weird. Jamie has no idea who you are, but like you're not running in the same direction as all the other people.
Wait, let's just do this. Hey, dude, Rox?
What?
Hi, remember me?
Yes.
My friend here is looking for that guy in the costume.
The bishop.
And, like, thought he was going towards that other person.
Yeah, have you seen Bishop Greenfield?
Yes, we're going to see the bishop now.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, then we'll follow you. Okay, great.
Great.
Like, this woman is at a point where she's just like, I don't care about anyone or anything. Yeah. I am looking for the bishop. I don't have time.
As the four of us speedily head towards the bishop in that room, Abram just takes a second. Do you work at the fart summer camp?
I
Counselor Jamie?
Yeah.
I knew it.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
Yeah, it's such a cheesy moment. But if you guys want, like, I think that's the conversation you guys can have while you guys are running. If you want to stop and have like a legit conversation.
No. We're absolutely running.
No, absolutely not.
Don't have much time, yeah.
As for myself, I feel like me and Lee are kind of like directing people to go up the stairs away from said darkness.
Aww.
So the darkness isn't pouring into the entrance hall.
Uh-huh.
It's just poured into the game room. room. You do watch as, like, it's almost in an instant as it kind of flows in. You do watch some staff from GoGoBots that were, like, kind of deeper in the room get enveloped with the darkness.
Okay, everybody, let's get away from all this nonsense. We're just going to start waving them to move elsewhere.
Why don't you roll a charm check for me?
Oh. All right, that is a 10 plus me unnatural appeal, so that's a 13, baby.
You kind of calm the crowd down. You help some additional people get out of the room before the darkness takes them.
I'm going to see the rest of the people moving up the stairs, and I'm going to say, should we leave?
Where do you want to go?
Up.
Good call. Boom. We'll switch right back. This quick little conversation. The four of you reach the storage room door and apparently open it without abandon.
Yep.
The door swings open. You see a large painting unveiled, 10 feet high, 3 feet across. The painting is a mixture of eyeballs, all of them kind of swaying in and out. Some of them growing in size, some of them disappearing, some kind of like moving throughout the painting. The bishop stands in front of it, mouth open, small amount of drool pouring out. Everyone, you're going to roll weird checks.
Weird checks?
Yeah.
Weird checks. Okay.
God damn it.
Whoa, 10 minus 1, 9.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's a 13.
I rolled just a 3.
I rolled a 10.
Abram, with the partial success,
mm-hmm.
What memory do you lose?
Oh, fuck. How important is the memory? Is it random? Is it related to a specific thing? Is it of certain importance?
I want it to either be associated with a family member or with one of the other hunters.
Ah, shit.
Don't pick me.
I don't want just a random memory from, like, middle school.
No. Sure.
Ooh, that's really tough, Isaiah.
Okay, I'm going to roll a d6.
Yep.
On a 1 through 2, it's about jewels, and I'm going to forget the coffee incident.
Ooh. Okay.
On a 3 through 4, I'm going to forget some special friendship moment between me and Ernest.
Oh, no.
Okay.
On a 5 through 6, I lose an important family memory.
Oh.
Caught it.
1. I forget the coffee incident. Not only do I forget the incident, I forget all memories of me looking at a recording of it.
Got it. Amazing. Yeah, that'd be a funny loophole. Thank you. You feel it kind of tug at your mind, and you're able to spin away before it takes you in farther.
Okay.
Meg, your connection with Lee, you've seen crazy stuff before. You just take a deep breath. Same thing with Jamie. You're kind of like, yeah, of course this is going to happen. You were ready for this. There's conspiracies everywhere. Your mind is steel. You're going to be fine. Ernest, you just find yourself completely kind of taken in by this painting. Your mind kind of goes blank as you look inside.
Revelations and Redemption. Wander Bucius as The Keeper. Meg Griffin as Harlene Parker. Brandon James as Jules Vega. Bro Dingles as Jamie Watson. Isaiah Rothstein as Abram Rocks. Xinwu Moon as Ernest Silverman Gold. The next episode of Revelations and Redemption will release on April 26th. And on April 19th, next week, the talkback session for this episode will release on Hot Dice's Patreon. So, if you want to hear us all reveal and redeem our choices, consider subscribing. For only $5 a month, you'll have access to all of our talkback sessions, a backlog of Twitch games, and other fun things. Visit patreon.com/hotdiceactualplay. Get it? Because it's hot in here, and we're rolling dice. And we're actually playing.
Did you conclude the current mystery?
No.
Did you save someone from certain death or worse?
Not yet. She was going to tackle the bishop. Like,
Did you learn anything new and important about the world?
I'd argue that one, learning that whatever got us in here is most likely what's going to be able to get us out is important.
Did you learn anything new or important about one of the other hunters?
I learned that they know me.
Not me, though, right?
You remembered Ernest, right?
God.
I'm not invested. I just think he might be sad.
Awkward silence.
Well, either way, you get to mark one experience point.
Yeah.
Isaiah?
I learned that the camp counselor that I need to get my kid into that summer camp is here suffering this crisis with us.
Mark one experience. Mick, are you saying yes to any of my questions?
My boyfriend's cousin is probably a Bigfoot pretending to be a dude rather than just like a regular human. Learned that the darkness is spreading. Definitely didn't save anybody.
Cool. So mark one experience.
Cool.
Brendan.
I do believe I saved some people right
there
at the end.
You did.
Oh, nice.
And I learned that my cousin's going to ask her to marry him.
Mm-hmm. Right?
We're going to be family.
And like, oh my God.
Because you have two yeses right now. If you can get three, you'll get two experience points. But right now, you're only going to get one.
I mean, you also learn that the darkness is spreading because, like, I don't think you knew that before.
You know what? I didn't actually know that before. Thanks for the assist, bro.
Okay. I guess you got two. Ernest. Shin.
How easily this world that's unknown, a mystery hidden from the public, can directly suck you right in.
You also learned about the weird angel thing. If you want something slightly more concrete, you also learned about the eyeless.
Thanks for the assist, bro. Bro's out here assisting.
Bro's out here assisting.
Mm-hmm. I want the XP for my fellow hunters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.